listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yeah, shimmy, yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it away. Off on a natural charge, born voyage. Yeah, from the home of the Dodgers, Brooklyn squad. Wu-Tang killer, bees on the swarm. Rain on your colored ass, disco dorm. For you to even touch my skill, you gotta be the one killer bee, and you ain't gonna kill now. Pass that down. What? That's, they skipped around. I pass it all around. Lyrics go hard like cement to the ground. For any MC in any 52 states, I get psycho killer Norman Bates. My producer slam, sharp like bam, jump on stage and then I dip down. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod Ed.
Karen.
Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, like it raw. It's feedback time for those who like it raw. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. We'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate that. If they're not 5 stars, we won't read them. And if they're not positive, we won't read those either.
Mm-mm.
We don't give a fuck, nigga. We don't give a fuck.
Nope.
You can also do things like listen to the show on our website, theblackguyhotips.com. You can become a premium listener and listen to all our premium shows, the RSS feeds and the passwords all there for premium people. So you can put it into your iTunes or your podcast apps and, you know, do that stuff. Just did a new Balls Deep yesterday. The day before that, we had a pregame come out. Mm-hmm. So we always putting content out, guys.
Yeah, so happy New Year's for the people who are not premium and didn't get the first show of the year, which was actually Ball Deep Sports.
And then we did bring the New Year's in with a lot of merriment and celebration. I may or may not have gotten drunk while podcasting. And I know that's some people's favorite type of podcast. They enjoyed the Four Loko podcast. Well, you guys are probably going to enjoy. I think I actually named it Drunk Deep Sports yesterday. So, yeah. And when that pregame comes out in 2 or 3 weeks, people are going to enjoy that even more.
I was about to say, I was late to the party, coach. I'm sorry. I had some stuff to take care of, so I was late to the game.
It's probably for the best. Oh, am I frozen on your screen? Am I frozen?
Yes.
Okay, let me refresh real quick. But yeah, I think people will definitely enjoy it. All right, take your time, Spreecast. It's not like anybody in the chat is waiting on me to
come back,
get back in there and finish the show.
Mm-mm, nobody. Nope. Mm-mm, they're not important.
10, 20 minutes, however long it takes, you know. Oh, man. What is going on?
There you go.
And now the part where I add myself back to the screen. Okay, there we go. I'm back. There we go. But yeah, so that was a good episode, and a lot of people are already writing in quotes that I don't necessarily remember saying, so that'll be cool. You can also donate to the show and where you're at theblackguyhotips.com. It's right down the right hand side. You can donate via PayPal or whatnot, and that helps the show out, and we appreciate it. As a matter of fact, we give those people shout outs.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. That's right. New day, new pay. You know what I'm saying? That's what I say. I'd like to give a shout out to Jay Sarge. Thank you, Jared, for hooking us up. Calvin N, recurring donator. Thank you, Calvin. Gerard L, recurring donation. Appreciate you, player. We got a one-time donation from Winnie A, who says, Dear Karen, kisses. Rod and Justin, welcome back, homie. Y'all, I'm listening to yesterday's Ball D Sports and your discussion of LeBron / Chris Cluey / Sean King. Thanks for breaking the obtuse fuckery all the way down. So I have to drop this right here in the collection plate to support and encourage your work, analysis, and humor as much as I can. Peace from Seattle, Letty Mae Daniels, my chat room alias. Oh, thank you, Winnie.
Thank you.
And we appreciate it, man. You know, a lot of times stuff that like that happens is major. We don't get to talk about it on the big show because it's a sports thing. So it's like, we'll just save it for the sports stuff. And I felt like we did a good job, even through our drunkenness, explaining exactly how all those people can go fuck themselves, except for LeBron. Portia S, recurring donator. Thank you, Portia. Terry W, recurring donator. Damian Jackson.
Ooh.
I am for real. Recurring donator. Jason L, recurring donation. We got a one-time donation from Adam S. Thank you much, very much, Adam. Our boy Conrad, official first-time donated to the show. Hit us with a one-time donation. Said just a little something extra to help you survive when hating ass Terrell's army of freedom fighters come for you. They was on my ass this week, y'all. Look, Bill Cosby got perp walked, and I got
everybody lost their minds.
I had to perp walk some people off of my Facebook, Twitter, and everything. Whew, can't believe y'all niggas still defending that sloppy eyed bastard. Alexander Aaron, recurring donator. Thank you, Alex. Our girl LaBella Body Care, Adrian, she hooked us up with a recurring donation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hugh G, recurring donator. Thank you. Latonia B, recurring donator. Michael Irvin, the playmaker. Eric M, attitude check. Bronco Pride. Thank you very much. Waste Bees by Sewer, recurring donation. Mary H, recurring donation. Janine R, I believe she might be new.
Yep.
I don't think I said Janine before. I'm not sure.
I don't remember that name.
Stefan H, recurring donator. John B. Oh yeah, he's a recurring donator. Thank you, man. You really had a good album when you released that stuff back in the 90s.
I remember that.
I thought you was black, brother.
Me too.
You and Tupac. I thought you was just real light skin. Rita May left us this. One-time donation says, thanks, Rod and Karen, for keeping me sane at work. Here's a little something extra to kick in 2016. Happy New Year's, guys. Thank you. Happy New Year's.
Yes.
Mr. Span, recurring donator. Andy S, new recurring donator, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's new. Marvin B. Yes, Marvin B. Woodsy, recurring donation. Nicole, recurring donation. Early Days in Photography, and that's everybody. Man, it was a lot of y'all this week.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Happy holidays to us, right?
Yes.
Play me out, Kurt. Tears, stars, this is what I do. I smile. Woo. Even though I hurt, see, I smile. Boy, that feels good. I know God is working, so I smile. All things are working. Even though I'm in it for a while. Still. I smile. Smile. Hallelujah. It's so hard to look up when you've been down. I know it's hard right now. Sure would hate to see you give them down. Because you're a winner. You look so much better. You smile, you so smile. Oh, you look so much better when you New Orleans. All right. Let's do the 5-star reviews.
Let's do this.
Now we have no new 5-star reviews on Stitcher, except I must have skipped over one or didn't read it or something last week.
No,
so I'll start with that one.
Post late.
Mom's Drag with Swag, 5 stars, says Bullet Ball Revelations. Finally, Big Brother Rod and 5-star chick Karen blessed me with the answers to all my questions about what the heck is bullet ball. That was the funniest thing ever. My son looking at me like I'm crazy. I've been listening for almost a year now, and I just finally figured out how to rate on Stitcher. I don't have Apple nothing, so I can't do it that way. I admire your marriage, and you guys make me want to give my marriage another try. God bless you. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
And look,
but I'm telling you right now, if you know,
don't blame us.
Yeah, I know folks get back together, but be sure that's what you really want to do.
Don't blame me is what I'm. Don't write me and be like you, like in a year, you motherfuckers, he's still cheating, and it's your fault. I don't want to.
Yeah, because you remember them bad times and why y'all separated, baby. You remember that, not me.
I don't want to catch no heat. Okay.
No, we ain't taking them bullets.
We had some 5-star reviews on iTunes. In the U.S. If you're outside of the U.S., let us know. We'll go look that up, too. But we can't see it. West Side 1 says, love the show, 5 stars. These two are a blast, and they keep it 100. Thank you, Rob and Karen. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
We shall proceed. One Super Sam says, awesome podcast, 5 stars. Okay, Karen, I'm doing it now. Please don't beat me, LOL. I love listening to you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm gonna put them paws on y'all. Highly recommended podcast, 5 stars by Hair_Jart. Rod and especially Karen, I have to admit something. I've been one of the lazy listeners. I've been listening to your show for about a year and a half now, and y'all are now a staple in my podcast lineup. The feedback show has progressively become my favorite show of the week. Hey man, I keep telling people, if I could only listen to one show a week, it would be the feedback show. Now I'm not saying not to listen to other ones, but let's just say you had to pick a favorite. Feedback show all day, man. Cause then you get to find out what the full fucking bullshit we went through this week was.
Right.
And what we got to talk about. I mean, not that, I mean, I personally wouldn't skip any shows if I could, but I'm just saying. I listen to many great podcasts. I've come to a realization. If I had to choose only one podcast, it would be Mr. and Mrs. Tips. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
They call me Mr. Tips.
Shout out to jail.
Between your show and the Facebook group, the Blackout Tips community feels like a family. Your podcast combines comedy, serious opinions on social issues, or sometimes a mix of both, games, everything. I used to watch The Walking Dead in the earlier seasons but fell off. After listening to your show, I got interested in the show again. I never bothered to get back into watching it. I just love getting the funny, informative commentary from you guys. My New Year's resolution is to become a recurring donator. That, too, is long overdue. Got to get in on those premium shows. Happy holidays, Jared.
Thank you, sweetie.
Appreciate you, Jared. And we, you know, we'll be here when you decide to go premium, man. The shows will be here. The backlog will be here. All that stuff. So, and thank you so much for, you know, for letting us know. All right. We had comments on the website on each episode.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 102, A Simple Disagreement. We had to talk about kicking that girl out for saying nigga in our chat.
Mm-hmm.
In our Facebook group, I mean. Even though she was non-black, and then she wrote an email saying how she didn't know why she got kicked out. And then saying that she had apologized and she hadn't apologized. And then she never wrote back. So. You know, which is funny because it's like whenever you call somebody out on their shit to their face, life is just funny that way. Whenever you're just like, no, that's not what happened, people typically just go away. When you're just like, no, you can, like, that's not what happened. I'm just not going to be polite about it. You're telling me a lie. You know, that's so funny. Yeah. I did that today at the gym. This dude was talking shit about me signing up Justin before Justin walked in the door, which, because I knew Justin was in the parking lot, I said, when I sign up, I'll just put your name below mine so we can play on the same team. We do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were not number 9 and number 10. And this guy was like, well, you know, people coming in the gym, signing up people that ain't here. Like, he said it in earshot because he wanted me to hear it.
Right. Oh, I hate when people do that passive aggressive bullshit.
Right. And I was tying my shoes about to play, but I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll make the time.
Right.
And I walked over and was like, what's the problem?
Right.
And he was like, I mean, people aren't here. I said, Justin walked in 30 seconds after I walked in. So now what? Well, I mean, you know, he wasn't, he didn't need to be next on the list. I said, would you have been next? Well, that's not the point. I said, well, what's the point? Do you not like Justin? You got a problem with Justin? So Justin was shooting around. I said, Justin, can you come over here, man? Ted got a problem.
Right.
And you want to talk to us about it? And Ted was like, no, I'm not saying I have a problem. I said, y'all go to school together and you come in here and talk with us and kick it every week. Right. And y'all talk about going to school and shit. And y'all talk about the team. But now you got a motherfucking problem. So let's just air it out. Let's just get it out here in the open.
People don't want
to
do that.
He's a grown ass man. He ran all the way across to the other court and start shooting around like he was just like, I just can't shoot around.
Right, because they don't want them problems. That's what I'm saying. You big and bad until something. I had to do a coworker like that because it was one of them things was passive aggressive. And eventually was like, hey, you got a problem. And when I was like, hey, you got a problem, the attitude changed. And not only was I was like, hey, you got a problem. And I explained what really happened. And her attitude changed because that right there is kind of one of my pet peeves, especially being black. It's one of those things where it's like, hey, dog, let's talk about this thing. And when it really comes down to it, you don't really want to talk about it. You just want to kind of throw that shade out there and just let it be and think somebody is just supposed to take it. And sometimes I do take it. But when I've had enough, that problem stops, because at the end of the day, you don't want the confrontation.
Right.
That's the thing. You act like you want the confrontation, but you really don't want the confrontation. And the thing about it is that most of the time, for a lot of white people, you fail to realize most black people don't confront you because, honestly, you don't want them problems, especially in the workplace. You really don't want them problems.
Right. You talk a good game, but yeah, you're not about to say shit. When it's right in your face, when it's like, okay then, so what, like, what's the problem? Like, explain it to both of them. Oh, no, I don't want no problems. I just, you know, I was just saying, anyway, it's just funny,
right? Because I think a lot of times that's when people take their quote unquote kindness for weakness, just because you're not outspoken or cool to be like threatening to cut a motherfucker. All of a sudden, people just think they can do and say anything to you.
Yeah, you got caught in your shit, man. So yeah, she never emailed me back. All right, so here's the comments from this episode. Lucked Out says that trope you mentioned, diversity died in the future, is on the way out. I don't know if serialized space sci-fi is your thing by sci-fi, but sci-fi has a new series called The Expanse. Yeah, Karen and I've been watching it.
It's actually really good,
with the first four episodes all over online. Yeah, I've been watching it on my TV, not online, but I've been watching it, you know, every week it comes out. I know there's more TV than time in a day, but I just wanted to put that out there. I appreciate that you're putting out podcasts during the holidays. You're the hardest working podcasters I know. Yeah, man, I enjoy The Expanse. I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that they have all kinds of different race, gender, and stuff on the show.
Very, very diverse cast.
So, you know, I think that's where TV needs to head, and I hope it's on its way out. I mean, Star Wars is the biggest thing this year, and, you know, it's mixing it up, so... That'll be good to me, man. I think you're always going to have a propensity for white people. And since the vast majority of media is white and critics are white, you're going to still have them gravitate towards certain films that really express the white experience that lacks any real diversity.
Right.
But that's just going to always exist, you know. And I think it's hard for them to understand why a black person would tap out on that shit. Like, they don't, they can't relate. Although they do it all the time.
Well,
like,
come on now.
There's tons of movies they'll never see because they were black movies, and quote unquote. So why would I go see that movie? But they don't understand when we have that reflection back, when we say, why would I go watch The Fucking Martian? There's no diversity in it. They don't understand that. They're like, cause it's one of the best movies and we decided. And you're like, well, did you see The Best Man Holiday? No.
Well, then what the fuck?
Why didn't you see it? It's one of the best movies, and we decided. Well, that's I don't need to see that.
Right, right. And that happens a whole lot because, yeah, there's a lot of, and I see a lot of show. You know, we watch a lot of television. But, yeah, there's some shit, and I will just flat tell my bias, I don't want to watch that. I'm tired of white folk shit. And, you know, and majority of everything we watch is white. But there's sometimes I'm like, look, I have whitewashed myself to death and I'm through. I don't care if it's the best thing ever. I hadn't watched Breaking Bad. There's a lot of shit I hadn't watched. I was like, that shit too white.
Yeah, sometimes you just lose. Everybody has their limits.
Right.
And I think people need to be more understanding of that rather than being like, but it's so good. You need to sit back for a second and not think about yourself and be like, maybe that person just don't want to be into that shit. And if you search your own catalog, you'll find shit that you're not watching because you were like, yeah, that shit just didn't look like something that interests me.
Right. And it might be the best thing ever. I ain't going to fight you on it. But it's just like, this is where I tap out. And it's the thing. Everybody pushed their shows like crack cocaine, but Fred realized everybody can't get all the crack.
Yeah. Rachel on Fire says, I personally cannot wait for the day when most, if not all, movies, TV shows, plays, etc. have diverse casts and nobody even thinks a thing of it. I just saw The Force Awakens and it was fantastic. It's a sci-fi movie, not being almost exclusively centered around white men for a change, was an integral part of that enjoyable experience. It's centered around a black man and a white woman as the main characters, but it featured people of many diverse ethnic backgrounds mixed in with aliens of all types and forms, which makes sense since we're not even talking about our galaxy here, much less a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant experience. I propose that from now on, casting be diverse because life is diverse. White men are no longer the center of the universe as much as they would like to continue to be. Let's have diverse characters of all backgrounds, shapes, size, gender, skin tones, etc. Not because it's PC, but because it reflects reality. I personally do not fear becoming a minority. May the force be with you. Word, Rach.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I don't know why people are just frightened and just scared of that. Like, that's just the way it is. And I think it's just the power and just the scaredness. And let's be truthful. A lot of times when it comes down to it, for a lot of white people, when they go, okay, we are outnumbered, it's like, oh, okay, all of a sudden these niggas gonna remember history and all of a sudden gonna act unruly. It's like, dog, we know history and we're not going out attacking you, so what are you talking about here? But I think that fear of one day the brown people gonna snap and kill us all, you're like, that's not realistic.
Right. So we got some podcasts. And we also have some polls. This podcast poll was, should that lady be allowed back into the Facebook group? Yes, even though I know this vote won't count. Or no, even though I know this vote won't count. Because we kind of decided on the air that day. Mm-hmm. But 7% of y'all said, yes, she should be allowed back in, even though your vote won't count. And like I said, a lot of people are scared to be the bad guy. That's fine. That's what I'm here for. I'll make the world a better place for you. And 93% said no, even though I know this vote won't count. And those are the people I do this for. V Nasty said, yeah, bruh, of course. Know what I'm saying? Ali says, Rod, I'm so glad you brought up this, the issue with the lady in the Facebook group on your show. When I saw the ladies trying to get her together in the thread, I immediately thought about some comedic bit I heard once. I think Chris Rock, but I could be wrong, where he basically said, white people, if your black friend tell you it's okay to say nigga, then they are not your friends. I really wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt at first, but when she dropped that lame excuse about how she is comfortable with it, then I knew right then that she didn't have any real black friends and she had to go. I have non-black friends who have said nigga when we were reciting rap lyrics or something like that, but right away I let them know what the deal is. I personally know them and don't have a problem hearing them say it in that context. However, I don't speak for all black people, and you better not say that shit in front of someone else, because at that point your ass is grass and you're on your own. I tried to sympathize with her and think, well, she has been permitted in this predominantly black space where people are dropping the word nigga on almost every thread, so maybe she just got caught up in the moment. But then I thought about the numerous gay friends I have who affectionately call each other fag, and I have never once thought it was okay for me to do the same thing. Why? Because I'm not part of that community, and as much as I consider myself an ally, I don't share in that life experience to give myself permission to say it. Shaking my head, yet unfortunately, homegirl had to learn a hard lesson the hard way. Hopefully she knows better and will do better. Yeah, man, she can do that with the next group of niggas, man, because it's not our responsibility to teach her. It's only responsibility I feel that we have is to try to make that environment as cool a place to be as possible.
Yep.
And part of that means not having people that do shit like that and then try to justify it. Like, the only thing she could have said was sorry,
right?
And I won't do it again. Those are the only things I would have accepted from her. And instead, we got a bunch of hemming and hawing.
Mm-hmm. And that becomes the problem. And the thing about, we probably might talk about this tomorrow, but the thing about it, something I've realized in 2015 has taught me, whenever you call people out on their racism, sexism, and homophobia, no matter who it is, they want to argue about it and tell you how you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, particularly if you live that lifestyle. And then, I can't speak for everybody else, and it may be because we were accessible. All of a sudden, when you call people out on their bullshit, you got to deal with an email, a phone call, a Facebook tag, a direct message, a telephone call, a Google Plus chat. It's like something, a 1,000-word email. It's like, motherfucker, what about me blocking, muting, whatever I did to let you know I didn't want to be bothered with it? But I think because of the age of the internet, people just, they like, you're going to hear me out when I don't have to hear you out.
Yep. So anyway, I think people have to fight for the spaces that they want.
Right.
And, good people gotta stop losing that fight.
And we always lose the fight because the most ignorant, dumbest motherfuckers have the goddamn loudest fucking voice and always want to outshine everybody and make whatever conversation that you're talking about them, even though they jumped in on a conversation that didn't have a motherfucking thing to do with them. And honestly, if truth be told, they would have been better just shutting the fuck up and listening. But for some reason, that's very, very difficult for a lot of people to do. They can't just be quiet and just let you talk. They've got to interject themselves sometimes, when sometimes you didn't ask for them to come over there. And then when they don't get the response that they think they should get a response, or they don't get a cookie, quote unquote, because they're sharing your opinion or your view, or they think they're sharing your opinion or your view, all of a sudden you're the problem.
Right.
Well, I didn't ask you to come over here in the first place.
Right. So we had some comments for episode 1103, Steve Harvey Bacon. Maya B says, the killing thing about black men basically co-sign or whatever bullshit white girls and non-black women do to black women is the nauseating whiplash they have when a black woman decides that she/they cannot be with a black man due to their lived experiences involving black men. These same motherfuckers are the ones who were calling Kerry Washington a modern day Sally Hemings due to her being Olivia Pope in Scandal. The fact that there are black men out there who will coo the word snow bunny to a white girl with a teaspoon of ass, but will fucking break their own neck to shame a black woman for not standing for her community. Yeah, I mean, you see that a lot, you know, that racial loyalty shit, and then the punishment that they put on black women for daring to be like, I'm open to dating all races or whatever. Right. You know, I think if your thing is, for anybody personally, when people say, I won't date somebody of my own race or whatever, I always look at that sideways. It, like, I don't even care what your gender is, because it's just always kind of a, like, where is that idea coming from?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of that seems to be stemmed in racism and, you know, like a lot of stereotypes and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how anybody could just write off a whole race, let alone their own or whatever. But it is what it is. It's just funny to me when black men find that okay, but then when black women say it, they have a problem with it. You know, well, I just kind of think I would have an issue with it no matter who said it.
All right.
KLJ75 says, I never heard of V Nasty. Fuck her and whoever giving her the pass to say nigga. I just saw her video. She fucking whack. EVE says, I had to look V Nasty up because I have never heard of her. I couldn't make it all the way through one YouTube video I saw her. The only thing I see in her future is a throat punch for when she drops the N-bomb around the wrong person. I hope there are cameras there when it happens.
she never gonna be around those people. Like,
right.
Like, she gonna be sure that she never gonna be around those people.
Yeah. Would you try Steve Harvey's bacon? Oh, yes. I already did, player. 65% of y'all said no. Basically 31% of y'all said yes, and 4% of y'all said no. Said you already had. So, nobody left a review, though. That's interesting. We had episode 1104, The War on Kwanzaa, where we talked about a bunch of stuff. The Cosby Show, Tamir Rice, Sean King threatening to sue everybody. A bunch of stuff. Let's see our comments. AJ the Engineer says, hi, Rod and Karen. This message relates to the Star Wars Lupita discussion at the end of episode 1104. If you think this will be better on the Nerd Off, don't worry about reading it on the feedback show. No, we can read it. We talked about it on the regular show.
Mm-hmm.
I had to pause episode 1104 and ask something. I understand why Lupita decided to be a CGI character in the Star Wars movie, but you raise a good question. Why can there only be one black actor on the screen at a time? I know it's Oscar season, so I've seen you and a few other podcasters posting screeners y'all are currently viewing. I can't stand it every year at the Oscars when Hollywood pats itself on the back for being liberal as they ignore the fact that diverse movie casts are selling tickets like crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm still mad at Sony's comments about Denzel. I guess I'm confused because I see the comics you, Karen, Nina, Chris, Sterling, and others are reading, and they have all types of brown characters, but if that comic becomes a movie, it's got a white cast. What the hell? So my question is, have you all seen any major movie studios push hard to get more diversity in recent years? I applaud Star Wars for having a diverse cast, but despite the ticket sales, I can see other movie studios playing it quote unquote safe and continuing to use majority white actors. Thanks and happy new year, AJ.
Marvel Studios.
Yeah, which is Disney, basically.
Right, which is Disney, is actually one of the few people that I could see actively doing it. And the thing about Marvel does a lot of its things, and they might not publicly come out and tell people. So a lot of times people are criticizing them, which the criticism is valid, but at the same time, they're working because they want all the money. But a lot of studios, you know, a lot of people like the status quo. Particularly if the status quo is you and looks like you and looks like your daughter and your son and your family members. And it's one of those things where not only do people need to demand Marvel, they need to demand some of these other major studios to do the same thing because they can. But if they do, a lot of times they give them a fraction of the budget that a lot of these other movies get.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times everybody acts, which fucking infuriates me. Everybody acts so goddamn shocked and surprised when the shit supersedes whatever budget, whatever tiny ass budget they gave it. And then what makes me mad on top of that is it takes fucking 15 years before you get sequels to shit, but yet you have other motherfuckers, they make a movie and almost immediately you'll hear about the second one's coming out next year, the next one's coming out in 2 to 3 years. Like they immediately, as soon as they find out it makes a profit, it immediately gets another go. Like The Best Man Holiday, it took about 10 to 15 years between the first one and the second one. It's probably gonna take another 10 to 15 years between the second and third. It makes no fucking sense because that movie made all the money at that period of time,
right? Yeah,
that's the problem that I have.
You know what, a lot of these people make these plans, but when it's someone like Disney and Marvel, one of the things I like about them is that they are making plans for 2 to 3 years out,
right,
and movies in between, so you are gonna get stuff in between with these characters, mm-hmm. and other characters in the universe. And when they're eyeing diversity, like the thing that Disney, this is one of the reasons that, for the record, I'm not protective of Disney and Marvel, but I'm a little more understanding, I'll put it that way,
right?
Because they try and they have diversity initiatives. They want a Star Wars movie starring a woman, directed by a woman. That, like, that's something that matters to me. They want a Black Panther movie to be directed by a Black director. That matters to me, mm-hmm. you know, as a nerd, as a person of color, those are the things I want. I want authentic experiences. I don't want it to just be lip service to diversity.
Right.
So I really do stand for them. And I think it takes time. I don't think it's immediate. Mm-mm. I don't think it's going to be perfect. There's going to always be something wrong with every product that you view. But there's something to be said for people that are trying it. So when I see people get hard on Marvel, I'm always a little skeptical, because I'm like, like when it comes to this topic, so many people that get a pass are doing so much worse,
right.
You know, when I'm looking at Fox and stuff, and I'm just like, they're not even trying. Why are we only concentrating on the people that are actually trying? I don't think that we should stop concentrating and stop giving stop putting the pressure on the Marvel in place. But I think it should apply to a lot of places, not just one studio. But we'll see, man. I'm looking forward to all that stuff from Disney and Marvel.
Right. And the thing about Marvel that I give them credit for, and I think for some people, if they read comics, they understand. But I think for some people, they don't read comics and they just like, hey, I'm here only for the movies. And I completely understand that. But I think a lot of times, not only is Marvel becoming more diverse in their movies, Marvel's is becoming more diverse in their comics. So a lot of times they will take their comics, which will take a few years to build a storyline, to build a plot, to a few years. And then they will eventually make it into a movie, and that takes time. And it's just one of those things where, I guess, like you say, I'm more understanding because it's almost like I can kind of see where they're going versus with other people. You don't get a motherfucking thing. You get nothing. And I know some of these comics that we read that are predominantly Black and brown. I'm telling you right now, if they come and they whitewash this shit, I will be fucking outraged because why do you take, like, Rat Queens? You better not come and make Rat Queens and whitewash the fuck out of it. Don't do that.
Yeah, I can't see. The thing is also, I personally don't have this experience of them whitewashing the stuff I'm currently reading, because things have changed.
Right.
I think the last thing I really was pissed about whitewashing was Avatar.
Oh, I was mad.
The Last Airbender. That pissed me off. And a director of color decided to do that, which is even more just unbelievable to me.
Right. You didn't, and you were pronouncing the names wrong. You didn't even use Asian characters. Yeah. M. Night Shyamalan, get the middle finger for that one. Yes, you do, sir. No, don't.
Yeah.
Do, yeah.
That was just, I couldn't.
I really was
watching the whole movie with my mouth open, like, why would he think any of this was a good idea? And you know, it was really sad to see him do that. That could have been a franchise. That was supposed to be like 3 or 4 movies, guys, and he tanked it right out the gate.
Yes, he did, and nothing else got made. Go ahead. Oh yeah, and The Last Airbender was like a Nickelodeon, like one of the first, not one of the first, but American made anime that was actually done very, very good. One, it was created here in America, not in Japan. It's a beautiful cartoon. And same thing with Korra, The Last Airbender. And it's one of those things where it's like, you could have really went somewhere with that, but because you bullshitted over it and you whitewashed it, it didn't go nowhere.
And I say that as a Black person, but it was all Middle Eastern, Asian influences on The Last Airbender.
Right.
And, you know, a man who's Indian fucking was like, nah, like, I could, like, I've I look back on it, I'm still amazed that happened. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I really had the experience yet. I think this Michael Fassbender movie, Assassin's Creed, we'll see how that works out, because from my understanding, if the character that he's playing when he goes into the virtual reality world is a brown person, but then in real life he's a white dude, you know, we'll see how they handle that, you know, things. I mean, the tools are there for them to handle that well and for there not to be any problems.
Right.
But we'll see if the movie's good and all that stuff. Cause I remember when I saw Prince of Persia and fucking Jake Gyllenhaal was the main character, and he was just like, what the fuck? Who thought this was a good idea?
Right.
Like, why didn't you just get a brown person, like, you know, is in every game?
Right.
You know?
In every video game. The whole series was brown.
But the stuff I'm reading now, I don't think it's being whitewashed, but that's cause it hasn't been. It hasn't been cast yet, you know. We'll see how it works. My highest hopes is that it's just not gonna be whitewashed. I think whitewashing is gonna die out a bit because greed runs everything, and diversity does sell.
Yes, it does.
And as slow as studios are to realize it about some properties, the smarter, savvier studios, and especially TV shows, are already on it.
Especially TV shows.
And they're gonna make that money. So, yep. We'll see.
When you say TV shows, especially TV shows, cause TV shows like, hey, we got to keep people watching, because at the end of the day, you don't have to watch us. So we will do everything we can to keep you DVRing, to keep you watching live and all this shit, because, you know, we know that most people's attention span when it comes to television shows ain't long. And also, not to get off the topic, one of the things why I said a lot of pressure needs to be put on Fox is because Fox is notorious for taking a lot of their shows, particularly a lot of their brown shows, and fucking them around and screwing up the storylines, or just fucking canceling them, and then be like, oh, we didn't know nobody was watching it. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Back to the comments. EVE says, I was definitely disappointed when I found out Lupita was going to be playing a CGI character. There haven't been any major women of color in the Star Wars series, and that's always been disappointing. While I appreciate that, that's the other thing I really forgot to mention during that whole discussion. For me as a nerd and as a man, it's easy for me to go, well, yeah, I mean, she wasn't a black woman on screen this movie. What's the problem? For black women, this has now been 7 movies.
Not one, seven.
So it is different. You know, for me, I've had Mace Windu, I've had Lando Calrissian, like, they've had nothing on screen. They've had no talking lines, no characters, no love interests, no heroes, no villains. It's okay to admit, like, yo, this is a thing black women want to see. And they were a little let down that Lupita wasn't on the screen in the way that they would like to be seen on the screen. And Star Wars can easily rectify this next film or Rogue One or something. Mm-hmm. It's not like, it doesn't have to be set in stone that people who have been marginalized should just be happy with anything and enough. Just take it. That's enough.
Right. Just be glad we even thought about you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that they had a few black females in the movie in the Resistance and in the First Order. They were background characters. I would have loved to have seen a black female fighter pilot. That would have been kick ass. It didn't take away my enjoyment of the movie because I've seen it twice and will probably see it again while it's still in theaters. But I would have gotten my entire life to see someone who looks like me in a major role in a movie like Star Wars. Exactly. This is something I'll keep telling people that defend this shit. Women are telling you, I love the movie. Black women are like, I love the movie. I've seen it 3 times. I love it. Right. It's great.
They're not saying they don't like it.
I still wish a black woman was in it on the screen as a black woman. Mm-hmm. Both things can be true, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can.
And the thing is, it's not shocking to black women because it's been going on their whole fucking lives.
Right.
The same way it's not shocking to me when the nigga dies first in a horror movie. I'm never shocked. I'm like, well, that's about what happens. You know, if you want to shock me, let him survive the whole movie. Then I'm like, oh, that's a twist.
Ain't that the truth?
So
the credits roll and he's still breathing?
Yeah. I hope when the casting is done for the next movie, this will be considered, and those basement dwellers who claim they boycott the movie can just stay mad.
Right, they boycotting but still spending their money, because the numbers show you still spending your money.
P.S. I bet they watched the movie anyway. Oh yeah, they definitely watched it. They watched it.
Yes, Star Wars break the numbers for the week, the numbers for the day, the numbers for the month, the numbers for the year, the numbers for everything. If it's a record, they own the way of breaking it. Yeah, y'all spending y'all money mad.
Yeah, we see the tweets and the think pieces. Of course they watched it.
Right.
Here's the poll. Do you masturbate? Yes, every day. Yes, once or twice a week. Yes, once a month. Yes, but very rarely. No, but yes, I'm just ashamed to admit it. And no, but for real, no, I never masturbate. 0% of our audience says no, but like for real, no, I never masturbate. 33%.
Y'all like that touching yourselves.
Right. So we got some freaks. And I like it.
Me
this,
too.
This is why y'all can listen.
I ain't mad at you.
Yes, every day. 33% of our audience, every day, getting up in them genitals. Good for you. Good for you guys.
I know you ain't less stressed. For real, a lot of times you don't cuss your coworkers and shit out or sometimes cuss out your mate because you're relaxed.
Yeah, I mean, remember the study was basically like, yo, this is good for your health. 46% say yes once or twice a week. Now, in my opinion, they probably were closer to every day, but I wanted to give them a little leeway so they wouldn't feel bad. Yes, once a month, 4%. All right. I mean, I guess if you can get around to it.
You got it on your Google Plus calendar?
Yes, but very rarely, 13%. So that's less than once a month. 13% of our audience masturbates less than once a month. And I wish I could have broken down men versus women. And no, but really, yes, I'm just ashamed to admit it, 4%.
Yeah, that'd have been an interesting poll.
And Classic, of the Coastal of the Podcast Network says, yes, every day, gotta get your reps in, dog. Hey, man, practice makes perfect, is what I say. We had episode 1105 where we had Quita and Monique from the Slacker Society podcast to discuss. It was called IPO, and we talked about a bunch of stuff. Style Nosh says, I thoroughly enjoyed this festival of women, and you too, Rod, in the Alderman Davis voice. Shout out to Good Times. Monique and Quita were wonderful additions. Monique's upbeat approach mixed with Quita's deadpan quips gave me my life at work. I've already added the Slacker Society podcast to my favorites playlist. Thanks, Rod and Karen, for always introducing us to other great podcasts.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite podcasts. They are a lot of fun to listen to, y'all.
Oh, and I guess I forgot to make a poll for this episode.
Oh, yeah, you didn't make a poll.
My bad. Shit.
Oh, because you're looking for it and it ain't there.
Yeah, I definitely forgot. All right, well, next episode. the last episode, 1106, Chipotle Truther. We discussed the Kazi show, a hoverboard priest, new Twitter harassment rules, much stuff. The comments were, we had two. Chuck 8503 says, Peel Cosby is putting on a good show with that blind acting, looking like Stevie wanted to get an assisted to court. I really wish, right, he was just on tour doing comedy shows.
Come on down.
Now he just needs help into the jail. I can't even see straight.
Mm-mm. He is an actor, y'all.
I can't even see how to rape a woman. I just, my eyesight is so bad. Mm-mm. I don't know what pills I'm putting in whose drinks. I thought I put the pills in my drink and that they were vitamins. I didn't know they were going to knock you out, and I couldn't even see whose hand I was forcing on my dick. I don't know. am I grabbing my titties or just, is that a couch? I don't know. I really wish the justice system wouldn't be broken, because I really don't think that's a jury of his peers, that the jury of his peers will indict him. Hope I'm not wrong, but this is with all people caping for him. It's not looking good. I agree. His money and fame and shit has helped him escape justice for a long time. I think that'll continue.
Of course.
Hiroja Shab says, Karen, I loved you on the Gas Pod, because we were both on Gaming and Then Some podcast, yes, and then Karen was on there by herself at one point. Mm-hmm. So maybe Hiroja Shab listened to either one of those. And love nothing more than to hear you nerd out some more, which brings me to my new resolution for 2016 to become a premium member to the show by February. I don't need to eat that much. Food is so overrated. And Rod, there is a Chipotle conspiracy. Take out the big dog and the rest of the dominions will fall. Veggie Grill, Just Salad, Panera, and any other health nut places that get in the way of having supersized fries and bacon on every meal. Mm-hmm. Hiroja, no. Mm-hmm. They out here trying to catch us slipping, y'all. Don't fall for it. The conspiracy is real. You gotta fight through it or the terrorists win. Who's on the side of terrorism? Not me. Eat Chipotle, people. Nope. Enjoy it. Nope. Eat it all up. Mm-mm. Eat it up. Mm-mm. Enjoy it. Don't let them take away our freedom.
Mm-hmm. Y'all gonna end up dead.
They aren't flour tortillas. They freedom tortillas.
Oh, at least
and we will eat them.
Shitting on the toilet. No, thank you.
People shit on the toilet every day, Karen.
It's fine.
Nobody's dying. Mm-mm. People get a little sick. Mm-mm. And that's all it takes to scare America. Fear is how they passed the Patriot Act, y'all.
Yes, I like my shits to function like they supposed to.
Fear is how they keep us in chains.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
That's right. It's a conspiracy. Free Bill Cosby. No, conspiracy am I talking about? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm the wrong conspiracy.
No, I don't want to be running and my shit's running too. No, thank you. Mm-mm.
Well, that's why you just stay home then.
Yep.
And eat the cereal that we have here, and I'll enjoy my Chipotle.
You go right on ahead.
You say that now. Did LeBron let you down with his comments on the Tamir Rice jury verdict? Yes, he should have said more. No, what he said was fine. I don't really care what he says. 3% of y'all said yes, he should have said more. 58% of y'all said no, what he said was fine. And 39% of y'all don't really care what he says. By the way, I don't think that's necessarily an insult.
No, it's not.
If we're being honest, for the most part, I don't really care what LeBron James says. Like, if we're being 100, I only care when he agrees with me. If we're being 100. Other than that, I don't really give a fuck. He good at basketball. I appreciate that dude giving back to his community.
Right.
I think he seems like a dude that's really on the up and up, good father, good husband, all that shit that you can just kind of guess and see from like his image and stuff. I don't know him. He could be doing whatever the fuck he wants to behind closed doors, but the things I see about him, I really respect. The things he's chosen to talk about, I think he has been informed that he said statements that, if we're being honest, really kind of middle of the road statements. They're not these inflammatory, bombastic statements, which is not what he's paid to do anyway. But he's let people know that being black is part of, you know, being LeBron James. And for that much, I respect and I appreciate his opinion. But if we're being honest, there's never, ever, ever been a time where something happened and I thought, what's LeBron gonna say about this?
Come on now.
If I'm being honest with y'all. Some people do that, but y'all already know how I get down. I don't really worship at the pulpit of celebrity. I don't really give a fuck. I don't know why I would ascribe to this idea that you're better than me and your opinion matters more than mine, when I got a fucking opinion just the same as you. I have a life mm-hmm. experience the same as you, because more people listen to your music or watch you play basketball, your opinion is supposed to carry more weight than somebody else's. I never really felt that way. I know a lot of people do, and maybe I'm unique in that, but I've always felt like, when I was a kid, I felt that way. Like, why the fuck would it matter that Michael Jordan said that bullshit? He's Michael Jordan. He's not, to me, that's all he is basketball dude, who is a human being and can be wrong like every other person. That being said, when I see people say they don't care about what he says, I don't find it to be insulting, but a lot of people probably will.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if someone told me, I don't care what you have to say about something, for the most part, it's not really insulting unless we like have some type of rapport. Okay, I didn't ask you to. You don't have to. I give my opinion on here every day because I don't really care what people think about it. Like, I don't think there's any other way to be honest on a microphone if you're sitting around worried about how people will receive everything you say, because
right.
you're gonna end up fucking up at some point.
Yes, you are. You're gonna make somebody mad. Somebody.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to get on here and say shit that you feel is true, but probably is gonna piss some people off. And you can't be thinking about those people every moment of the show, or you just won't do well. So all that to say, if we're keeping it a buck, I don't really care what LeBron James says unless he agrees with me. That's it. You know what I mean? Like with Kobe Bryant. Sometimes Kobe say some crazy shit and I'll just be like, take it or leave it. I'm not really,
right.
I ain't got to jump in front of that bullet. But then if he says something where I'm like, that's reasonable, that makes sense to me, I completely and get down with that. And I wish more people were like that, because us trying to turn athletes into the new MLK and Malcolm X ain't gonna work. It just ain't. You know, people either believe and want to be those kind of things or they don't. But you can't, like, Sean King was using examples of Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X. Those people weren't shamed into those acts. Those people believed in that shit with their whole hearts and decided to take a stand.
Right.
You want to shame LeBron James into giving up his livelihood? That's not going to happen. It's such an unrealistic, egotistical display to even think that that's a thing you can do. Maybe you can reach out to him. Maybe you can try to get him interested in something. I understand that. But at the end of the day, if he decides not to, hey, that's his life. Move on. It's time. What can we do to raise awareness about it? Someone else will be perfectly willing to pick up the mantle, which is one of the things I actually like about so much of the new black freedom movement, is how it is interchangeable. And people are doing work on their own. And people aren't waiting on someone to come give them the key and the tool to everything. Sometimes people gonna fuck up.
True.
Sometimes people gonna just do shit you don't agree with. Not everybody's gonna do it the same way. End of the day, work is getting done, and it's getting done by a lot of people, and there's no one person to shoot. You know, which is a sad statement to make, but that's how they've tried to kill movements in the past. Just kill that one guy.
Yeah, that's why everybody wants a leader, because with a quote unquote leader, you take that person out, they feel like everybody will disperse. And that's one reason that makes so many people so upset about the Black Lives Matter, because they don't have a quote unquote target.
Yeah, they want to, like, because, you know, when you have one guy, they just try to assassinate that person's character.
Correct.
But one of the things I really feel confident about, and I kind of like in a odd way, I guess like is a weird word to use, but that's the word I'm using. I like that if something happened to Sean King, shit'll keep moving.
Right.
If something happened to Nana and DeRay, God forbid, shit'll keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of better than, well, what are we going to do now? Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, there's people that are about black freedom that don't like each other. That's fine. That's how it's always going to be. Less people need to be concentrating on the cult of personality and worry about what the fuck they want to stand for or not stand for, and what are their bigger goals, because you're not gonna like everybody you come across. No, that's just how not. It is. So anyway, we had some comments. Kyle says, no, we didn't vote him in the office and he doesn't run the city. I mean, yeah, that's the other thing. I said this yesterday on Balls Deep, but how come nobody asking Dan Gilbert to stop Cleveland Cavaliers as a team from playing games? Because you said in your articles, LeBron James, the most powerful man in Cleveland. No. Mm-mm. Somebody signs his checks.
Come on now.
Dan Gilbert signs his checks. We're not asking him to do shit. Why? Is it because he's white? Do we find that ridiculous that a white person would care about justice for Tamir Rice? Only LeBron James should care? We're not asking other players?
Mm-mm.
Just this one guy. And then when he says, I don't know enough about that to be talking about that shit in public, people go, oh, well, fuck him then. He's Uncle Tom, sellout, coon, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, dog. What if he's telling the truth?
Right.
No, what? Like, no one want to consider this, which is amazing to me, because he's pretty much been a straight shooter about all this shit, period. But now we want to pull the, oh, this nigga lying. What if he doesn't know? And he jumps out there and says some wrong shit.
Mm-hmm.
We see this all the time, and it discredits people's entire fucking, like, word after that. How many times has Charles Barkley stepped his fucking foot into his mouth where we're like, yeah, just don't listen to Charles Barkley? because he's always running off half cock without knowing what the fuck he's talking about.
Come on now.
Ranting about, remember when he talked about Ferguson and saying motherfuckers had guns and was shooting the police and shit? And you're like,
what the fuck are you watching?
Where are you getting this from, dog?
Come on now.
Like, if you're not plugged in, just shut the fuck up. It's completely fine to say, shut the out. I don't know. I don't know is a perfectly acceptable answer. Some people are going to be mad at you for not knowing, and you have to deal with that, but that's way better than talking about shit you don't know about.
Right. I don't know what happened to just saying, I don't know. I don't know, and honestly, he's not paid to know. What about that? Don't people understand? Like, it's not his job to completely stay on top of this. So that's, to me, like I said, it's very unrealistic, and we die at such a high rate. Even activists don't know every single solitary person's name.
And the details surrounding what happened. And, like, for example, remember when President Obama spoke about Skip Gates and said the police acted stupidly?
Mm-hmm.
President Obama pretty much knew what was going on. He said how he felt. And he had like one or two details wrong. And he had to have a beer summit. People said he hated the police. He still has a label as the most anti-police president of all time. And people still bring that shit up. Like, that's the consequences of being even slightly off. If you don't know, it's okay you don't know.
It's okay.
Sometimes I tap out. I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Farrell died here like 2 or 3 years ago, and I didn't know a lot about that case.
Me either.
It hit home. Like, it was here. You know what I mean? So part of me was kind of like always a little checked out. Like, yo, this could be me. But the other thing is, so many people were dying. I just literally didn't have the mental catalog of Jonathan Farrell and the exact circumstances of his death.
Come on.
By the time I found out about it, guess what? I talked about it on the show. But I wasn't talking about it when it first happened because I didn't fucking know. You know, there's shit that happens all the time now where I'm like, I could talk about this on the podcast because everybody else is talking about it or because it's the hot topic, but I actually don't know my shit. So I'm gonna run out here and say this, and then next we're gonna be issuing retractions and talking about I guess my bad, y'all. I said that she did this when she really did that, and I don't know. And I think more people need to take that approach.
Yes, they do.
Because there are people that know, and we need to be lifting those people up so they can speak on these things rather than trying to be the center stage and be like, I know everything, I got it. What happened? Like, it's cool. So I'm taking his word for it. That being, because I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt.
Me too.
That being said, I hope it's like Kobe, where Kobe said he didn't know enough about Trayvon Martin for him to put on a hoodie and take a picture. And people got in his shit, called him all kinds of names. 2 weeks later, he's giving a speech in front of Trayvon's parents and to a charity foundation for kids. And talking about and trying to inspire those kids and get put, you know, make sure that everybody's on the right path and know and can accomplish their dreams and all this shit. Mm-hmm. That was 2 weeks after he said he didn't know. He went and found out and he tried to do something about it. Now, it's not going to bring Trayvon back. It's not putting on a hoodie. It's not taking a picture. It's not using a hashtag, you know, but I like the fact that he did learn. He did care. He didn't have to care. He could have just went, I'm Kobe, I'm rich, fuck y'all. Y'all got mad at me for not knowing. I'm rich, fuck y'all. But he did care. You know, he tweeted more about it afterwards trying to clarify. But the point being, I'm not just casting motherfuckers out because they didn't have the right answer at the right time when I wanted them to.
Right.
You know, we'll see. We will see. You know, this shit hits close to home. We'll see what he thinks about it. And also, it's in the middle of the season and shit. Like, people don't care about any. Just like, drop what you're doing and tell me what to think, you know?
Right. While you sit and do what? Absolutely positively. Now, the motherfucking thing, you're not sacrificing. You're not marching. Some of you don't even vote. Some of you aren't as educated as you expect him to be. Some of you aren't willing to sacrifice a motherfucking thing. Some of you.
Well, it's like the curse of blackness. Like, you're damned if you do. You're damned if you don't.
Correct.
You know, I mean, I remember when people were caping for Richard Sherman, and Richard Sherman was in here talking about some All Lives Matter bullshit like 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, these guys are just like you and I. They're just guys. You know, we need to stop trying to turn them into black leaders because they're black and sometimes have opinion about black shit. So do you, and so do I. and so does everybody else. It doesn't make us a spokesman. It doesn't make us an activist. It doesn't mean we know all the shit. You know, a lot of the stuff that LeBron has done has been kind of tailor-made to be a simple step for him. So he doesn't have to give a long speech. It's just, let me put on this shirt. Let me throw on this hoodie. You know, a lot of this stuff for him isn't necessarily the outspoken activism of a, you know, somebody like Jesse Williams. But we keep trying to throw him in that box. And I don't think we should be throwing people in that box, even if we think as black people we're doing them a favor. I just don't think, I think it's a disservice, and I think it's not really freedom.
No, it's not. And the thing is, for me, when it comes to activism, there's several levels to it. Everybody don't have to be full-fledged jumping with both feet. You have some people that go, well, I might not do that, but I give you my money. I might not do that, but I volunteer my time. I might not do that, but I pass out flyers. I might not do that, but I know how to network on social media.
Well,
I
a lot
Twitter,
of people,
Facebook.
A lot of people don't consider the fact that some of these people are helping in the ways that they feel comfortable.
Right.
And it might be LeBron James helped build houses for families. He's having kids go to school. He's paying for the Boys and Girl Club in Akron. Like, he's giving back in the ways that he feels comfortable giving back. And people are like, that ain't enough. You need to step up. And it's not fair. It's really not fair, to do that shit to other people. Everybody's always on somebody else's pockets, but I don't see them missing no checks. You know, nobody going to work, taking this stand, risking their livelihood. Nobody's doing it. You know, it's just something that is easy to do. And a lot of it is steeped in the disrespect for what these guys do for a living.
Right.
Even black people. A lot of black people went to college and shit, have a lot of disrespect towards athletic feats and athletic ventures, and the fact that that's a career that you can respect just as much as you going to college and being a doctor.
Yes, you can.
It takes just as many jump shots as it takes you to study those textbooks. It takes just as much time conditioning your body, eating the right things, making the right decisions on and off the court. And a lot of people do throw that in people's faces. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I've decided you have enough money, so therefore you should have to do what I tell you to do.
Right, and who are you to tell me what to do with my motherfucking money?
And I've always said I fuck with people having a choice, so I respect it more when a guy is making that natural decision on his own to step in. Like, I respect Jesse Williams because he don't gotta do it.
Nope.
I don't expect shit of people. Now, maybe I'm just cynical, but I don't expect shit of people. So I have so much more tremendous respect for people who do step up. But like, if next week Jesse Williams says, man, I'm tired of this shit. Like, real talk, it's hurt everything. My career is hurt. My personal life is like, I have given the amount of energy I can give, and I have to now retire from this activism stuff. I'm going to go do more whatever. I'm going to go write plays. I wouldn't be like, fuck Jesse Williams. A lot of people would.
Yes, they would.
And that's the difference between me. I don't have the, you know, I just don't have that button in me to be like, nah, man, you owe me. You don't owe me. It's cool, man. You know, and that's why I fuck with the things that LeBron has said, because he didn't have to do those things.
Mm-mm.
You know, so I, like I said, a lot of people that are complaining and whatnot, I don't even care if they were, like you said, a lot of them aren't marching, they aren't doing it. I wouldn't even give a fuck if they were. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If they were doing all the shit they say they want LeBron to do, it's still your personal decision.
Correct.
And you can't force somebody else to do it.
Mm-mm.
And I'm telling you, the backlash, if LeBron James would have said some uninformed bullshit about Tamir Rice, would have been so much worse than saying, I don't know, let me give some comments about how I feel about guns and shit like that, and you know, and then walk away. Let me just do that. That's basically what he did. But if he would have said something like, well, he had a gun, I mean, what was the police supposed to do? Y'all would eviscerate that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you would. Oh, he don't even know. Right. He don't know.
So he
should shut the fuck up about it. Go learn.
That's what he said. And then you got mad because he did not know.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do that shit, man. So we always say that shit because the assumption is they agree with us.
Right.
But the second they don't, you're going to lose your shit.
Yes, you will.
So I'm like, yo, let's not put so much stock into this shit because it, maybe the best thing that happened is him going, I don't know what happened, let me leave it alone. Because I guarantee you the circles he runs in, he's hearing different stories than necessarily what we're hearing.
Right.
Who knows what the fuck he's hearing about Tamir Rice? You know, who knows, man? I mean, I would like to think that he's hearing some in-depth, really, you know, well-researched.
You never know.
I don't know. I legit don't know what he's hearing. And if motherfuckers are going around being like, well, little motherfucker had a gun. Because I've seen people say shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been at the gym where people just said stuff, like, haphazardly like that. Oh, well, he was wearing a hoodie. It was at night. I mean, the guy was just a neighborhood watchman. You can't be taking that kind of information and just running up on TV.
Mm-mm.
You know? So, I don't know, man. I give him a, you know, I give him a lot of props, because I think it takes a lot to actually say you don't know and to not try to have a hot take. And hopefully, man, you know, because he seems to be a guy that cares about his community, that cares about black people, hopefully either he'll be educated on it and speak about it later, or he'll be educated and continue to make the moves that he's making and give back to his community and all that stuff. Hopefully, you know, I don't think he owes it to me, because I think he's good at basketball. I don't think he owes me shit.
Mm-hmm.
Cause let's be honest, I wouldn't give a fuck about LeBron James if he was terrible.
And none of y'all would either.
Like, we ain't never gonna have this conversation about Smush Parker. I'm sorry, Smush, if you're listening. But we never gonna have this conversation about somebody that we don't deem a star anywhere. So, like I said, I remember when the Jonathan Farrell thing happened. I remember being like, that sounds fucked up. That happened here. I need to read more before I can just go talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I remember that there were two grand juries. I didn't know that when I, like, I just,
I didn't know that. Yeah.
When the first time I heard about it was the second grand jury, when the dude got, with a cop got, indicted. But the first time I heard about it was, you know, like, I mean, but that was the first time I heard about it. This, apparently there were two grand juries, and one was like, you know, like a hung or whatever. Yeah. And he got off of that shit. Like, you know, I get it, you know, and there was also this other subtle thing that I don't really know how to express it yet, but I'll try to bring it up a little bit, is you ever notice they don't ask these dudes about, like, Rekia Boyd or Sandra Bland?
Yeah, because they're black women. And when it comes to let's just keep this real, and then maybe this is just my opinion, and I'm just going to keep this real. When it comes to black death, it's all about black men. That's what it is. It's all about black men. And it's sad, because black women die at actually a higher rate when you add in death by cops plus death by black men.
Mm-hmm.
We actually die at a higher rate. And when you start talking about that shit, black men don't want to hear that, because a lot of times most of them are perpetrators of these crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want you to say, hey, dog, black women kind of got it worse. We get shot by the cops just like you. But at the same time, we also die by the hands of you, too. And it's one of those things, when it comes to it, most people think black on black crime. They never consider women. When they think of black people dying, they never consider women.
Mm-hmm.
When black people die, if it's a black man, it's up and down my timeline. I can't get enough of it. I'm constantly pictures. I constantly photos. Particularly black men, they're outraged. They're upset. They go on for days, weeks, months, years. You hear them cussing folks out. You hear them blocking, unfriending, all that shit all up and down my timeline. But also, black women are as angry as you are, and sometimes madder than you are, and sometimes care more than a lot of black men do, because a lot of the organization that goes behind it, a lot of the marching, a lot of the protests and stuff, a lot of times the work, a lot of the work is done by black women. Not to say black men don't, but a lot of the face that marches, a lot of time is done by black women, because we care. And black men care too. But the thing is, when it's reversed, when it's time to actually say, all right, guys, this death is not yours. This death actually affects a woman. A lot of men have a lot of misogyny, and they have a lot of misogynistic views.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of sexism that comes into this. And when it comes to black women, you don't have the empathy and you don't have the sympathy and you don't have the compassion for these women. So a lot of times when you ask these men, they just expect you just to not know.
Well, what I was going to say is in these situations, the topics are being brought to LeBron.
Right.
They're not even asking about these people.
Nope.
It's just kind of interesting. Like I say, it was just something I noticed. It was just, damn, they don't even ask.
Nope, because that's kind of funny that's just it's sad, but that's just how it goes. Because even if they ask black women, guess what? They don't ask them about other black women.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say also another reason this is bullshit is we don't pull this with anybody else. Like, is anybody asking the women's soccer team to not play until Bill Cosby till we get justice?
Because we think that's fucking ridiculous.
Do we go over to Diana Taurasi and be like, hey, can you not suit up anymore? Because, you know, Bill Cosby out here, and until we get him to go to jail, you the only one that's got the power to do it, marginalized person. You know what I mean? And you made enough money for a woman. I mean, we've decided that that's enough. Yeah, like there's some subtle low-key racism, and it's coming from not just white people but black people too. But this idea that people that pursue athletic endeavors somehow have enough money because you decided that.
Yeah.
Who decides who has enough money?
Right. You don't want
LeBron James' goal might be, I want to be the fucking next Bill Gates. I don't know. He might want to have enough money for his family to have money. He might want to have enough money because he's not done giving back to his Akron. He might want to have enough money to fucking make the next iPhone. I don't know what his goals are in life. I know he's an actor. He's written stuff. He's like, he's a spokesperson and he's an athlete. I saw a lot of white people and some black people talking about he got enough money. He'll be taken care of. He'll be fine. Who the fuck are you to say? Because right. We definitely don't pull that shit with white people. We just don't. We don't go, Kevin Love has enough money. Why doesn't he just give some back or not want anymore? Mm-mm. We don't say that about owners, right? The owners who are all white except for Michael Jordan. We never say, you know what? Dan Gilbert's made enough money. Why doesn't he just give it back to the community? Make the team boycott folks. You know, we don't do that. Like, I was this dude, KNO on Twitter. He's blocked me by now, but we had an exchange, because Greg Howard wrote this article where he said, LeBron James doesn't owe you shit. And I love it. It's perfect. I fuck with Greg Howard anyway, but that was, I could not have summed it up better myself. And I retweeted and said, this is good work by @GregHoward. And somebody else retweeted it. And I think it was Angry Black Lady. So this dude, No, KNO, who apparently is part of the Cunning Linguist, a white dude. He goes on Twitter and responds to my tweet and asks everybody in it. He's like, this is nothing but hero worship, and this is a bullshit article, and he does owe it to people. And I said, hold up. Is a white dude telling black people how to black? Is that what's happening right now?
Right.
Like, I barely tolerate it from other black people when they say so-and-so owes it to everybody to do whatever I want them to do. I barely tolerate it then. Fuck's sake, if I'm tolerating it for some white dude telling black people what the fuck they need to do. You don't know LeBron James. You bought some sneakers. Good for fucking you. That's it. You don't get to tell LeBron James what he's supposed to do. The actual activist that started the hashtag or whatever hit me up too, and he's a black dude, and he was like, well, brother, I think it's this. And I said, I disagree. And he said, well, that's your right. Thank you. And I said, you're welcome. And that was the only interaction we had. Cause at least he didn't have an entitlement about it, and he understands I could be black and disagree with his assertion that LeBron James would change the fucking face of the world by sitting out some games. I don't think that'll happen. They let Muhammad Ali black ass ride in jail. They ain't stopped that Vietnam War. Like, that, they didn't go, well, it's because of Muhammad Ali. We gotta stop fighting, guys. He's mad. So this dude, KNO or whatever, I end up having a, like, he tried to pull this, like, it's just a sports article, and what does my privilege have to do with this? The fact that you think what Greg Howard wrote about LeBron James, blackness, and the death of Tamir Rice is just sports, that's privilege, that you can even think of it that way. I don't have the luxury to think of it that way. It's life or death for me. Mm-hmm. So they even try to frame it as like, yeah, it's just, I mean, people just wake up like this. And I said, dude, you came in my page and now you're going to get it. He's like, and so, I went and listened to some of his music on Spotify. I've never been a Cunning Linguist fan anyway. I'm sure some of you guys are. I don't think they're that good. But I went and listened to his newest music. You know how many, songs he had about Black Lives Matter? Any victim of police violence? Zero. Mm-hmm. Zero. So you got some shit for LeBron James, the person that lives a black ass experience, that has two sons around Tamir Rice's age, that's spoken about that, to have to sit out games so you can feel comfortable with him as a white man. But your white ass, who is participating and making money off of black culture and hip hop, ain't putting no skin in the game? Yo, fuck you. Fuck you. Like, that shit pissed me off so bad. Like, if I saw him, I would punch him in his throat, dog. That's how fucked up that was. And he tried to pull the, like, and he ended up blocking me. I was like, good. Cause first I was gonna block him, but then I actually was like, I want you to block me because your shit was so stupid. And it pissed me off so bad, I'm not gonna be done with you until you're fucking ready to leave. So yeah, that was just so fucking stupid, man. Arrogant ass, entitled motherfucker. So no, nobody gets to tell LeBron James how to be black. Nobody gets to tell him what he has to care about. And yes, you can be disappointed that he doesn't care. He doesn't know. Cause I keep saying doesn't care, but those are Sean King's words. He never said he didn't care.
No, he didn't.
Said he didn't know. And he's obviously talked about it in the past, so obviously he does care. So y'all can save all the hero worship shit for the people that actually do think that he owes it to society and him sitting out a game would change the world, because those are the people that are hero worshiping. I personally know that white supremacy, systemic violence is way more entrenched than a fucking basketball game. So that ain't gonna solve it. I'm sorry. But it don't matter if LeBron can sit out from here for the rest of his life and they gonna kill niggas every day.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, all right. So Kyle says, we didn't vote him into office and he doesn't run the city. I mean, the protesters in Cleveland are trying to get prosecutor Tim McGinney out of here. So why are we focusing on LeBron again? In 2016, it's time to stop expecting black people to stop racism. That's another thing. Why you always expect the marginalized people to stop the racism?
Right, the people that are the victims.
LeBron ain't shooting no kids. And it's not like the cops listening ever give a fuck. You remember what happened to those players for St. Louis? Like, they drugged them through the ringer just for speaking out about, was it Cleveland? I think it might have even been Cleveland. Like, those NFL players, man, them cops was like, fuck them niggas. How dare they? We protect them every game. The police union, the retired, whatever. Anyway, one of the police union things is like, basically like, fuck them niggas, man. We protect them every week, and this is what they say? You're like, yeah, man, they don't care. They just want to kill niggas and not ever, ever hear about it.
Right.
And the justice system don't seem to care either. And I don't think not playing a game is going to be, like, the DA is not sitting at home like, LeBron didn't play? Well, I better get to work. Kyle says, black people have to stop shitting on each other every time something racist happens. I agree. KJ Dollar says, I'm glad he said nothing instead of saying the wrong thing and sounding foolish. LeBron has not shied away from speaking on issues like this, so when he decides to, I'm sure he will. And even if he doesn't, it's not an obligation to see, it's not an obligation to. He is a basketball player, not a politician. Yeah. What if he would have been like, look, I don't know much about the case. What I wanted to say is cops' lives matter too. Woo!
Yeah, people lost their motherfucking minds.
Woo! Woo! Twitter would have, like, everybody app would have blown up in their phone, literally. Like, boom, oh shit, what happened? Oh, my phone on fire.
So I prefer I don't know.
Yeah, if you I don't know enough to be talking about this shit.
At least you being honest. You be mad at me for telling the truth.
Yes, fraternal order of police. Thank you, Shad. Yeah. Yeah, that nigga would have been like, I don't know, all lives matter to me. Woo! Woo, boy. Oh, man. Niggas would have been burning LeBrons. Ooh. Anyway, you'd be able to go on eBay and get a pair of LeBrons for like $2.
Get a brand new jersey for a 50 cent.
He was out.
And you know what? I would go buy that shit too.
Seemed like he shouldn't have had a gun to me. Oh!
Fuck it. I'll take $50 and rag up.
What? Woo!
Don't think I won't be out there buying that shit.
Oh, man. They would say Tamir Rice, he'd be like, who that? Glenn Rice's son? y'all would have been so hot. Don't pretend like you wouldn't have been either.
Correct.
I would have been hot. I would be like, nigga, why didn't you just say you didn't know? We always say that after the fact. Why don't you just say you don't know and shut the fuck up? Then when they say, why don't you know?
Can't win.
Oh, you can't win, man. Oh, we had one voicemail.
Yo, Rod, yo, Karen. This is your boy, Tro in the A. Rod, I greatly appreciate the fact that you actually say what I always think, but I really can't just put in the words. And I greatly appreciate that, man. I'm really trying to figure out when it's going to flip up and just be like on the gay Jew money and just act like everything is just different now. But, your opinions are pretty spot on and progressive, you know. I think people really take that for granted these days, whereas you think, hey, I'm black, you're black, let's think about human rights the same way. No, I don't think of it that way. What? But I'm rambling. But I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you, Ryan, Karen. Y'all have a good one.
Oh, man. Thanks, Dro. The phone lines are open, 704-557-0186. That's 704-557-0186. And then we have some emails, and then we got to get out of here by 3 so we can be on Chris's show today, the movie trailer reviews podcast that you guys can catch us on Spreecast also. Huge favor for the children. This is our girl, Miss Crisible. Hi, Rod. I know you enjoyed your Christmas with our wife and other family members. I've been super low-key past few months. Don't even complain about IT stuff or nothing. Haven't even tried to convert you in a long, long, long time. Side note, first up to getting saved is getting into the Christmas spirit. Next up, getting an Easter suit and going to Easter Sunday service. Mm-hmm. Master plan working. Being a part of your conversion team means 8,365,427 heaven points. Just joking, unless you're going to do it. Just joking. Oh, we got a call. Hey, you're on with the Blackout Tips. What's going on?
Hey, this is Olivia calling from Chicago. How's it going?
Oh,
hey,
what's going
baby,
on?
How you doing?
Oh my God, you guys, why is there so much ignorance?
Oh, right. I don't know. It feels like it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just so much. Yeah, thank you so much for keeping me sane over the holidays. Well, I mean, I'm not going to put that on you. I'm not sane. But thank you for keeping me happy over the holidays.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy it, man. I was looking at my podcast app on my iPhone, and I was just like, oh, man, nobody's putting out shows. So
yeah, I was like,
you guys
are
the greatest. You're the greatest of all time, man. Content all the time. It's crazy. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was like, I was looking at everybody taking a break. But it was like, what day Christmas? Because it was funny. It was like, what day Christmas and New Year's fall on? Friday. Okay, we can just do the regular shows then. And so that's how we decided to keep the
most shows. People don't see in that an opportunity to keep working.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
most people have really taken the last 3 weeks completely off mentally, even if they're there in their body.
I know. That's we should have. That would have sucked though if we were doing a podcast like that. Like, hey, something happened. Like someone got shot or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, it doesn't work to just say you don't have the information.
Right. Yeah, I definitely can. Yeah. I don't know. Some stuff with some gay people. Cosby. Anyway.
I don't know. Something happened.
We'll be back next week.
I'll tell you, because this stuff goes state to state, you know, like I really try to keep up with all of the shootings, because I try to be the buffer for my family, because I know it hits me different than right. It hits black people. So, like, I try to be aware of it so that if my wife ever asks me, then I can tell her, and she doesn't have to go through Twitter, watch the videos, try to like filter it for herself, because it's just too much.
Yes.
Definitely.
Like, I know it's hard for me. I don't know how much harder it is for her, because I've never been her, but it's got to be worse. So, you know?
Yeah, for sure, so, man. I know that, so, like, I'm not big into trigger warnings and stuff. I'm not saying that I don't have some, like, big stance against them or anything, but, like, I don't really care one way or the other. But I know people were, like, got into a huge thing with Sean King because he wasn't putting trigger warnings on these videos, and people were like, I'm just seeing this death over and over and over again, and it's making me just kind of tap out. And right. So I think it's it's definitely a real thing where you just get exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you can filter it through somebody else or something, sometimes it is better, you know, just to, cause you don't have to see it. Cause it, you know, it sucks to watch sometimes.
Yeah, I try to. And in any case, like, you know, I did white collar criminal defense. So I've done some criminal work. I've done mostly civil litigation. I've done a Section 1983 lawsuit against the city of Chicago for police brutality. Like, I'm not the person who does this for a living all the time, but I'm more knowledgeable than the average lawyer might be about how these things go, I think.
Right.
And even then, I have to check. Like, I did an experiment on Twitter, and I go, okay, so John Crawford, who was killed in Ohio in a Walmart, you know, when he was trying to when he picked up a gun that they sell there, a toy gun. I go, okay, so let me test myself right now without Googling. Was the officer not indicted? Was he acquitted? Was there a prosecutor? Was there a grand jury? How did that go? What was the procedure for that? It feels like it was about a year ago. What happened? Right. I can't remember.
Right. Because it's so many.
I couldn't remember.
And it's so many. And, like, you know, some of this stuff, especially if you're not a legal person, I don't even know all the rules.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I don't know,
like,
the language used.
I remember when I heard the, the officer here had the hung jury for the first time for the indictment for Jonathan Farrell. I thought that was it. I was like, well, he got off. Here we go with the bullshit. And then,
well, that's the thing. I mean, even then, like, a grand jury, you can't have a hung grand jury. Like, a hung jury is actually something that results in a mistrial, and then a prosecutor can choose to bring something or not. If a grand jury doesn't indict, the prosecutor can change the charges and seek a new indictment, which sounds like what happened.
Okay.
But again, I don't know.
Right.
I haven't even looked at it. And I know who you're talking about. I know that. I remember. But right. I can't remember the details.
I saw a number, and I don't know the exact number, but I saw a number today that was like basically 1,100 black people have been killed by, and it might have just been black men, but I'm not 100% sure. Nice. I just know 1,100 just last year. It's no way you can know all that shit.
Nope.
It's just no way.
And state to state is different, because some states have the option to use a grand jury to decide whether you indict, and some states don't have the option to use a grand jury. The prosecutor just decides. California just changed it, so now there's no grand jury specifically in cop cases. I mean, it's impossible to know just because of the civil and criminal procedure aspect.
Right.
I don't know which state has what, you know?
Right. So, yeah,
Ray Sani asked me a question. Ray Sani asked me a question about the man who killed, the cop who killed the man in the stairwell in New York, remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
Akai Gurley is the man who was dead, and Officer Peter Liang is the man who killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Officer Peter Liang has been indicted. He will face charges. His charges are manslaughter, but what I said they were was criminal negligence and recklessness.
Mm.
Because criminal negligence is the thing that in Baltimore they said no one could ever be found guilty for criminal negligence. This is crazy. These cops can't possibly do this. It's not even a thing. Well, yes, it is, number one. Number two, she goes, I said criminal recklessness. She says, how is criminal recklessness that causes death different from manslaughter? I said, it's literally a semantic difference. Some states charge recklessness and some states charge manslaughter, and some states have both charges, and no one's really sure why, because they describe the exact same thing. How are you supposed to know as a non-lawyer?
Right. And especially off the cuff, someone just hit you with, so there was a non-indictment of Tamir Rice. Now you got to.
Yeah, that's all I hear is non-indictment.
What's your hot take about this?
Right.
I don't know everything about that, so I'm not gonna just have, I don't have a hot take. You know, like, it was kind of odd to see people turn on somebody for doing something that I found to be very mature, which is saying, very tough to do, honestly, is saying, I actually don't know.
Like, well, as you know, pointed out many times, LeBron James is really too mature for the world in which he operates.
Yeah. Well, he's already proven to do some shit that I would never do, like go back to Cleveland. So, like,
that motherfucker is way better than me.
Really, like, that was some Serena going back to that one.
Right. Indian Wells.
Yeah, that's some next level, like, where I feel like I'm a very patient person, and I have to go, okay, there's another level of patience out there that I'm never going to be on. Like,
for me, if I were Serena, I would do everything I could to get Indian Wells taken off of the list of tournaments. I would kill that tournament if I were.
Yeah. I would do stuff like not play, but buy first row seats and, like, just to let them know I had the time. I just didn't want to play for
them. Drink soda, snack on popcorn.
Yeah, but
I would host a giant charity exposition in the nearest tennis court to Indian Wells.
Yes.
And take all the media attention and everything else away from Indian Wells.
Right. I would be just practicing.
Yeah, Serena's down here playing at the YMCA, y'all. Like, for free.
In a bikini, shopping in the mall, like, right, half naked, just stunting on people. And so that there was no cameras at Indian Wells, and they lost so much money they had to shut it down.
Yes.
This is why I can't be trusted with that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm too petty for that shit. Well, thank you for calling, Olivia. Also, thank you for the card. We were going to get into the cards at the end, but we appreciate your lovely holiday card.
Yes, we do.
Oh, I appreciate yours as well. Thank you so much. And I'm glad you guys had a happy holiday. And Harambe, if that's something you
Harambe! That's right. That's right.
And don't put all of our personal information that we put on that card out to the public. Thank
we
you.
Definitely would not. All right. You have a good one.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
Peace.
Miss Christopher says, please daddy don't block me, after she said she was gonna try to turn me back into a Christian. But look at me getting off sidetracked as per usual. Anywho, I need a super duper 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 big favor from you. My middle niece Maya heard about your disdain for the homeless in Charlotte and is trying to make boss moves to accommodate you and the missus. But no, seriously, she's raising money to build tiny houses in Charlotte, not for hipsters, but for the homeless, although they both have a similar look and smell. She's been on the news and everything. She said, here's a clip. So, she's in Charlotte.
Last winter, there were thousands of homeless people in North Carolina who didn't have any warm places to sleep. But a Charlotte high school student had an idea that she hopes will put roofs over their heads and eventually help reduce homelessness. Time Warner Cable News reporter Eugene Cho has the story.
It's a new partnership.
Hold on, we're getting a call. Hold on. Yo, you're on with the Blackout Tips.
Hi, Rod and Karen. This is Kara. I just wanted to call in and say how much I love you guys.
Oh, hey, Kara. Baby. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm really nervous.
Don't be.
I just wanted to say I saw some of the posts you put up from yet another Cosby supporter, and I don't know how you guys endure all that.
I'll tell you the secret. For Karen, is she don't see any of that shit. For me,
right?
To me, it's not really a hard thing to endure because we do have so many sane people that kind of listen to the show. And honestly, the Facebook group and my Facebook page and like Twitter and stuff has been a really good outlet for when that stuff happens, because I used to just like that stuff would happen and then I would be like try to handle it behind closed doors and leave it alone or whatever. But ironically, when I started getting harassed by like Bernie Sanders people is when I realized I shouldn't be the one to have to like sit back and take it and then let people just say whatever they want to me and just hope they go away until they feel like they got it all out their system. That's not right, and I don't believe in that. So now I'll fight back. I'll say whatever I have to say, and then I'll share it with the world because I'm just like, look at the crazy shit people do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there a part of you that feels like you idiot, I'm trying to help you if you would just listen, like, as you're writing to them, because it goes on for so long.
Sometimes, you know what a lot of it is I don't even expect them to listen, but I think maybe other people who are kind of people that agree with me, who often stay silent or don't publicly talk about these things, I hope that they'll see it and be like, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's okay to be like, this person said something stupid on my Facebook page or in my life or wherever, and I was like, that's stupid. This is why it's stupid, and you should either leave me alone or, you know, we're like, we cannot be cool if you act this way. And yeah, I think we should do that more, because I'm tired of it going the other way where people are like, what, you're gay? Now we can't be friends. Like, when did we decide that that guy's right and me doing the opposite is wrong?
Yeah. Oh, one more thing that I wanted to say. I won't take up much of your time, but, like, no, thanks for indulging me as a Bernie stan in a Facebook group. I really appreciate it.
Nah, Kari, you're definitely my favorite Bernie Sanders stands.
Mine too.
All the ones that stayed, you know. So, you know, no offense to the rest of y'all if there's any other ones that stayed, but you're definitely one of my favorites, man. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you. You guys have a happy new year, and too. I love you both.
Same to you,
Kari. Back at you, baby.
Bye.
Peace.
All right. So back to this article.
Yeah.
With an ambitious goal.
It's a great opportunity to bring to the conversation what tiny houses can do for affordable housing.
And this idea came from a 16-year-old.
Just when I'm driving around and I see people with the signs asking for money, I noticed that there was a problem then. And then when I went to Columbia in the past summer, living with my host family who only had two rooms with five people in the house, I also noticed that housing is a huge problem.
Maya Hopgood is a junior at West Charlotte High School, and she wants to use a popular housing trend to provide homes for the homeless.
When I thought about homelessness and tiny houses, it sort of clicked of how they could be a solution for it and how they're easy to make, easy to sustain, and of course money issues, and you don't have to pay mortgages and stuff like that.
One night last winter, the North Carolina Coalition to End Homelessness counted more than 5,600 people sleeping in a shelter and more than 2,400 sleeping outside. Maya believes tiny homes like this could help bring that number down to zero. So she's raising money, hoping to build a functioning home by next July and donate it to Habitat Charlotte.
When we can stabilize a family or an individual in a home of their own, it gives them the opportunity to, not only for security, but growth, just to feel like they're part of the community.
An affordable housing option so no one will be left out in the cold next winter. In Charlotte, Eugene Cho, Time Warner Cable News.
Cool.
And we posted a link to Mayo's GoFundMe page on our website. Just log on to twcnews.com to learn more.
From a 16-year-old.
Black girls are magic.
Yes, they are, sweetie.
She says, I really appreciate if you use your platform to promote the local magical black girl, my niecey. If you can play the clip on Guess the Race. Ha! That would have been fucked up. Or in the general news section. Yeah, we couldn't. I didn't want to play it on Guess the Race because I didn't need nobody calling your niece names.
Mm-mm.
You know, and in the general news section, I didn't want to like force it in, but I felt like, you know, we talked about on the feedback show, that'd be cool, because you know, these are like a lot of people that listen to the show, really care about each other and stuff, and mm-hmm. I, you know, and I think it's dope what your niece is doing. She says, either way, it's your choice. She said, I can read it on the feedback show. I would love you and Karen for life. Here is her GoFundMe page. Two of you interested. God bless you. See what I did there? Don't beat me. Hugs and kisses, Miss Crystal. I have never beat any woman. I don't know. I got beat up by a woman. Well, not a woman, a girl, when I was like fourth
Younger.
Grade.
Yeah.
And my cousin didn't help me because it was his girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. He just let her beat me up, y'all. Ain't that some bullshit? I will link to the GoFundMe on the episode, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we can, you know, that way if people want to contribute, they can do it there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We also got this email from Michelle who says, hi, oh, Broken Earbuds is the name of it. Hi Rod, I heard your tweet audio ad on show 1104. Unfortunately, the company does not always offer a free replacement for broken earbuds. They replaced the first pair that I purchased with code TVGWT, but when the second pair broke, they offered me a discount on the new pair, no free replacement. I too read ad copy for a living. It's frustrating when there's a disconnect between our marketing team, sponsors, and on-air talent. My listeners trust me to be honest with them, so I appreciate it when someone calls to let me know when the copy is untrue. Your show is the best. Can't believe you made me laugh at an old fellow following down, shaking my head. Lucy in the chat room. And then she has a picture. I guess if this one got stretched or something, like pulled, the cord pulled out, and they said when that happens, they think that's normally because something got snagged when the cord is coming out of the splitter, and that's not covered by their warranty. And so guys, if that happens, it's not covered by warranty. But they did offer her a replacement set for 50% off, which is still also crazy. I don't know how they stay in business. It doesn't make sense. Are they still in the headphones?
Right. That's like here's 50% off.
Yeah, it's like here's half off. At any rate, if that's something that happens, man, thank you for letting us know, because, you know, we definitely want to inform the audience of that, make sure that we get the copyright, because I didn't know that wasn't covered in the warranty. Of course, we've never had that issue with our headphones.
No,
before,
not that particular issue.
So if you guys strip them out of the cord, they might not replace them for free. They might give you half off because they don't know how to do business. I don't know what's going on, guys. Nigga and privilege. This from Charles. He says, peace, Rod and Karen. I wanted to write in about the incident that happened in the Facebook group with the woman who refused to stop using nigga. I had a similar interaction on Twitter with a longtime follower, white woman, who said that it's fine for her to use the word when singing aloud to music, even in the company of black people. To me, it's triggering when I hear the word leave white lips. Her logic was that people in her life never stopped her, even after multiple black people saw her tweet, said they would be uncomfortable with her using it in their presence. She had a very entitled attitude to all of us voicing our opinion on it and got mad when I unfollowed her and went right into victim mode. Just another reminder that even the most well-meaning non-black people have difficulty acknowledging their privilege when they are challenged directly. Anyways, love your show. Keep doing what y'all do. Love you guys, Charles. Yeah, you want to know what her mistake was? Taking that shit outside the car. Because honestly, if the people in her life don't have a problem with it, that should stay between y'all. Why are you telling the rest of the world, like, hey guys, I got a nigger pass over here.
That don't mean nothing to me.
It's not like a coupon you can just cash in.
Whenever you feel like it.
Like, just let it, okay, somebody, there, you know a black person that don't got a problem with it. Cool. There's some black people that do. It ain't difficult to understand.
Right.
We got another call coming in. Yo, you're on with the Black Guy with Tips.
Hey Rod, hey Karen, it's Leslie Mack. How are you?
What's going on, Leslie? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How was your New Year festivities? I saw you guys got to spend the day with your niece yesterday. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, it was dope, man. I didn't get to see my niece. My Karen went down there to get her hair done. My mom does her hair. Mm-hmm. And she took a picture. She's already wearing the shirt that I got her for Christmas.
Raven.
Which puts me in the Uncle of the Year category.
Yes, you are.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
We getting ready to have a nephew soon.
Yeah, Sebastian. And that's the thing, you know, when you get some whack ass gifts, you know, the kids will be like, oh yeah, thank you so much for this gift. But then they go put it up somewhere and it get dust on it and never see it again.
She was wearing that shirt proudly and looked at her grandma crazy when her grandma was like, who is that? She was like, grandma, you don't watch Teen Titans Go.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That is too cute. She was so cute in her shirt. I actually was calling. I know you guys finished talking about the whole LeBron thing, but I know we talked about this on Twitter, Rod, which was my irritation at the lack of, I guess I should say, agency supplied to the family of Tamir Rice in the midst of all of this. No LeBron, no whatever. I don't even remember the hashtag, whatever the hashtag was. And it really upset me for a number of reasons. One is because, you know, as organizers and activists, like, it's hard to not make the work that we do about ourselves. But in reality, our jobs are to lift up the voices and needs of those most directly affected by each of these incidents and by supremacy in general. So for me, knowing that all of these calls to LeBron didn't come from this family, didn't even come from people local to Cleveland, was really upsetting to me because on the flip side of this, let's say that Tamir's family did want to reach out to LeBron and did want to contact him. You know, what position does all of this activity do to help them in that endeavor? It actually takes away agency from them to be able to do that in a different way, because now LeBron's, you know, rightfully, you know, I would put walls up my damn self, just like, well, this didn't go well, so why would I engage directly with these folks? And it just really upset me to see that.
That was the other, and I hope, like, the most cynical possibility, I guess, of all this shit, and it would be the worst result, is if he just got, like, burned out, where he's like, oh, okay, this will never end. Like, it's never gonna be enough, whatever I do. So let me bow out now and just start saying I don't know anything about this stuff, because, you know, I basically know that there's gonna always be somebody who's like, whatever you did is not enough until I give up my livelihood. And I hope that's not the case, you know. I just hope that's not the case. I don't have any reason to assume that's the case, but to me, that was like the worst thing I could think of at the time. Was just like, what if he just was like, oops, okay, I stepped on it too far, I'm gonna just leave this alone now and walk away, you know. I hope that's not the case though, and I don't think it'll be the case, because he seems like a person that cares, and it's hard to care and walk away at the same time.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely, definitely difficult. And also just the fact that there were, you know, questions, there were demands, there were things that the family was asking for support of, and to see folks jump on this because it was sexier, it was cuter, it was more high profiles. Just I always am at this place of trying to consistently recenter the things that I decide to, you know, to amplify and make sure that it's coming directly from the people most affected. And it's easy to get lost in the, you know, the trending topics and all of that other stuff. And it's not a vilification, it's just something that we all need to be cognizant of and really think about when we see those things happening. And knowing that, I know Samaria was actually on MHP today. She's pissed. I mean, she's very obviously, you know, she's upset, but she's an incredibly intelligent, focused, determined and strategic woman. And she has lots of other folks that are just like that around her. And so this assumption that these families are unable to speak for themselves, to have agency to decide what should be done in pursuit of justice for their families is rooted in anti-blackness. And oftentimes, especially we see this when there's a woman that's at the head of these families. You know, nobody did this shit to Ron Davis. Just saying. Right. Nobody did this shit to Mike Brown Sr. Just saying. But here comes Samaria. She's a single mom that's raising her children still. Children who were traumatized by this incident. Tamir's sister was traumatized by this incident. Had Come to watch now. Her brother die and was assaulted by police. And nobody even fucking talks about that shit. Mm-mm. So to me, there's a lot of complex things that come into play when I see these things happen and blow up. And with no regard for how it's going to affect the efforts of the family on the ground in these cities and these communities trying to get justice for their families. So.
Yeah, I remember during Ferguson, there was a time where Mike Brown's funeral happened. And people were like, and his family was like, for this one day, we would like people to not protest. Like, we just want to bury our son. And from my understanding, a lot of people did say, hey, we're not, you know, not protesting. We completely understand. Mm-hmm. But I remember on Twitter, so I don't know if this person was actually in the streets or just on Twitter talking shit, who knows, but there was this person that got upset and was like cussing at me and shit. Cause I was like, yeah, I understand why he would say that. And I understand why people would take heed and be like, well, it's really about this family and our humanity. So why we can take the day off. Like, we'll be back tomorrow. It's not like white supremacy was going to leave and be like, oh, you could, yesterday was the day you could have got me, you know, like, so I remember how mad this person was. And at one point they said something like, man, fuck his family, it's bigger than them. And I was like, we can never let it do that. You can never let it be bigger, or else you lost the whole thing. Once you start talking about why it's bigger than the victims of these crimes, then what's the fucking point of doing any of this, you know? So yeah, the same thing with this Tamir Rice thing. It's just odd that people have decided like, this is what needs to happen. And not to mention, it's not a very realistic solution anyway, but it just seems like it's an ego thing where it's like they get to go back and be like, I'm the person that made LeBron James not play a game. Like that, like that's going to be bigger than, cause if not, if it's not that, then you have to question their mental faculties if they really think justice is going to be determined by if this nigga played a game. I'm sorry.
And I also think, like, let's say you did want to engage LeBron. Why would it be him sitting out? Why wouldn't it be, can he call for a moment of silence for Tamir at the next home game?
Right.
Is that not something that's worthwhile and something LeBron could be like, hey, we could do that? I just think it's just poor strategy and poor, you know, approach to try and engage people with these issues when we take away their agency and then subsequently subjugate the agency of the people that are most directly affected by these issues. And it's just, it just doesn't make any sense. And it's just not what our jobs are as people fighting for justice. So, I just wanted to share. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I hope it's not just something that people are doing because they like know it's not going to work, but they know they'll get all the attention. You know what I'm saying?
Where they're like,
like it's obviously LeBron's not going to do this, but everyone's going to be talking about how I told LeBron to do this. So I'll still get the attention, get my name out there, get the hopefully get some people that don't know about this cause to care about it or something. Maybe that could be it. Cause it just didn't seem like a very realistic solution anyway.
True.
Yeah, it definitely didn't. So I don't know what the motivation was, but I just know when I see things that can do more harm than good, it's always concerning to me because it's a lot of efforts put behind it that could have been sharing Samaria's, their petition the family has. They're trying to get Loretta Lynch to step in and take charge of what's going on with McGinty. They're trying to get McGinty out of office. I mean, there's actually concrete things this family needs to get justice and closure to the situation and building capacity in Cleveland to do that. And LeBron sitting out, it just doesn't serve those goals. So,
and you know what? I'll add one more thing. I'm sorry, not trying to hold you up, but one more thing I would add. Sometimes we don't know what people are doing. Cause a lot of people, I remember the shit Jay-Z and Beyonce caught for forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when the Harry Belafonte thing popped off and people were like complete, they coons, they're sellouts, they don't care. And then you find out later like, oh, they've actually been providing money to get people bailed out. You know, things that people to get clothes, people to have, you know, food and shit. Things that are tangible and that matter to people on the ground. And then they weren't being like, here are bottles of Jay-Z water sponsored by On the Run Tour. Like,
come on now.
It was like a kind of a humble thing that kind of got outed amidst some Twitter beef, which is hilarious, right? But it got outed not by them in a Twitter beef thing. And it's like at that point, you still have people like finally coming around like, oh, okay. So they were doing exactly what people tell people to do. And we were being shitty to them, and they don't get any apologies or anything. Just people just find a way
to blame
them. Yeah.
And I remember when we talked about the whole celebrity black hum thing this was like probably more than a year ago.
Yeah.
I think it was the first time I called into the show. And I remember my point was that it doesn't need to be showy. You know, there's plenty of things people can do to support tons of folks that don't have anything to do with a statement. It has to do with, are you ensuring children in that neighborhood are taken care of? Are you, you know, are you reaching out to the people that need resources? I mean, it's just weird to me that this has turned into like statement being the only way for high profile individuals to make a difference. And they're no different than any of us. And so why are we applying these different standards to them? So anyway,
no doubt, man.
Thanks, guys.
No problem. I hope you're having a good 2016 so far.
Me too.
So far, so good. Karen, I'll talk to you in a few weeks. Can't wait to have you on the show.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell Drew I said
all right,
what's
bye, guys.
Up.
Peace.
All right, I will.
Peace.
Bye, guys.
All right. Amy writes in, calling an ambulance while white. Hey, Rod. I was just sitting on lunch break, laughing my ass off at the War on Kwanzaa episode. Before I even go further, let me wish you a joyous Kwanzaa. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was listening to your story about the older gentleman who fell. I just moved June to Seattle before I spent 17 years in New York City. And as a young teen, I learned all about life from the song 911 is a joke. Oh, yes. The Flavor Flav Public Enemy classic. During my entire time in New York, I saw numerous ambulances and various services take their sweet time. I was in a car wreck where the police did not come for almost 2 hours because when both cars involved called 911, we told them there were no fatalities. Since moving to Seattle, I took a job as a replacement librarian in the public system. I worked the day after Christmas. An older lady in her 50s, dressed normally clean, came up to me and calmly told me she threw up all over the women's bathroom. I asked her if she was okay and assumed she was on her way to leave. We got the bathroom cleaned up. I sat back at the desk. An hour later, the woman calmly told me she was feeling sick and if I could help her with her bag, I obliged. I assumed she wanted me to take it outside. That was the wrong assumption as she went right back into the bathroom. She proceeded to vomit everywhere and then lie down. We told her we needed to call 911.
Right.
I called 911. Important note, I have the most white lady voice a white lady could ever have. The ambulance arrived in 10 minutes. Ooh. When they arrived and went into the bathroom, they questioned us because a woman had walked out and left. I was ready to throw punch everyone.
Right.
I tell my husband this story and he kept saying 10 minutes. He just kept saying 10 minutes. Were they next door? Is there an EMT base nearby? People in Seattle must live to be 100. I'm not sure what the moral story is. I just thought it might make you laugh. Oh, I know what the moral is. If you white, they gonna be on time.
Right.
I knew that shit when I called. I was like, why didn't I use my white voice? But it was funny because I had been talking to her in my regular voice and then she saw me call 911 and I was standing close to her so that she would be able to hear what I was saying. But I should have just changed her voice, like, hey, it's 911, we got an emergency here. And then they would have been like, oh my god, but they probably were like, it's a black guy acting white, take even more time. Let's go get something to eat on our lunch break.
Take a break. And we still got 15 minutes.
Gee willikers, this guy looks like he is hurting. Anyway, you guys watch any baseball? I was watching the hockey match earlier. And they'll be like, oh, no, nobody black knows about that.
Right.
The Murphy family. Shayna writes in, hello, I love the podcast. I was wondering if you guys watch HBO's Leftovers, The Leftovers.
I did.
I watched both seasons. Karen did not watch any. It is my favorite show. Season 2 just finished airing. Season wasn't a complete overhaul, but it changed location and introduced the Murphy family. Yeah, I think the Murphys were pretty dope. The mom is portrayed by Regina King. The dad is Kevin Carroll. Son is Javon Adipo. And the daughter is Jasmine Savoy Brown. The Murphy family is so dynamic and interesting. Never on TV have I seen a black family portrayed like this. Oftentimes, when a black family has to share screen time with a family, the black characters are not very fleshed out. Yeah. Normally when it's like a white family and a black family, it's like the black people end up being sidekicks.
Right.
I would love to hear your thoughts on the Murphy family. Hey man, they were well done. I love that they went into detail with it. The second season of The Leftovers was much better than the first, in my opinion.
Okay. I've heard a lot of people say they enjoyed it.
I like that a lot of it came full circle. I thought the only negative question mark, I don't know if negative is the best way to put that. The only thing that I didn't really, or that kind of bugged me, was that they had a whole lot of magical Negroes on the show.
Not the magical ones.
Yeah, the granddaddy was a magical Negro that knew how to like make people live through dreams. Eddie Winslow was on there. He was a magical Negro that could predict shit by like looking at your hand. Regina King was a magical Negro that could put birds in a box and 3 days later they'd be alive and shit. They got a lot of weird magical elements and none of the white people can do magical shit, which was killing me, man. But I still love that show, man. It was really good. So, and more importantly, I love Nina Perez, okay? And that's why I watched it.
I figured out that's probably why you watched it.
Yeah, I almost didn't watch that shit, but she won out again. I love Nina Perez more than I hate David Lindelof. All right, guys. We'll talk to y'all later. If you are around at 3, which is in 13 minutes, we'll be on Spreecast with Chris for Movie Trailer Reviews. And if not, we'll see you guys tomorrow on the podcast. And I guess we'll be, I just remember, I don't know if it's Yesha or Yesha but Callahan, who we've read a lot of her articles on the show before. So we'll see you guys in the morning. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.